think. A curious nature, intelligently controlled, has often led men to make great discoveries. Yet, unless curiosity is controlled, it can hurt me forever. My highest interest must be to follow God's law, and so to enter into eternal life. The less I burden my mind with unnecessary interests, the more will I understand and appreciate my supernatural purpose on earth. Too many worldly interests make me forget or disregard my heavenly goal. Many sins of omission and carelessness spring from uncontrolled curiosity. Pray. Jesus, my King, your enemies are whoever and whatever draws me farther from you and closer to sin. Therefore, uncontrolled curiosity is your enemy. If I am loyal to you, I will fight this enemy of yours. In so doing, I will also be fighting for my own eternal happiness. Lord, give me light to recognize this enemy and to oppose it in my daily life. Amen. Chapter 87, Curiosity of the Eyes. Christ said, My child, many a sinful thought and desire was brought into thy soul by thy curiosity to see things. This fault draws thee toward the dangerous attractions of the world. The memory stores up pictures of what is seen, and in a sense makes these pictures a part of thee. By a reasonable control of thy eyes, thou wilt find it easier to keep in touch with me throughout the day. External temptations will not reach thy imagination so easily. There will be fewer sinful thoughts and desires to disturb thy peace of soul. Many a temptation comes because of thy failure to control thy eyes. This lack of control is not always due to carelessness or laziness. Sometimes thou looks at an object to get at least a partial enjoyment of what is forbidden. This is simply another compromise in which thou try to serve two masters, thy unreasoning natural desires and me. Sometimes thou wilt tire of my company because thou art not enjoying what I command. At such times thou wilt seek to escape from thyself by a freer use of thy eyes. I do not begrudge a reasonable need to freshen thy spirit with a change of scenery, a new outlook, or new ideas. I merely warn thee against too free and easy use of thy eyes. Often what thou really need is to renew thy good intentions and thy motives for serving me. What is the good of continually seeing new sights? They distract thee from thy supernatural goal. Desire only enough change to improve the quality of thy good works and prayers. Worldly people continually run away from themselves by distracting themselves and feeding their curiosity. A man of God seeks to keep before him the glorious purpose of his daily life, to gain heaven. He controls his curiosity because it decreases his self-control and disturbs his contact with me. Think. There is nothing new under the sun. By controlling my eyes, I will not be missing much. By looking into my own heart, I can see the emotions, tendencies, and desires which move all humans. If I saw everything which is happening at this moment, how much would I learn to improve my life? It is far better to live with God, attend to my affairs, and not be too concerned with anything else. Let men of the world bother about passing trivialities, if they so desire. I was born for higher things, things which earn an unending glory and eternal happiness. Pray. My Jesus, in you I have the most interesting, most attractive, wisest, and best of friends. How can I turn from you to pay unnecessary attention to poor, limited humans like myself? I sometimes tire of you because I do not know you well enough. If I took the time to contemplate your life on earth, I would know you and appreciate you much better than I do. I would find it then easier to keep my eyes away from unimportant human events. Help me, my Jesus, to concentrate on you in my daily life as far as my obligations will allow. Amen. Chapter 88, Curiosity About People. Christ said, "My child, if thou wilt only leave others alone, they will usually leave thee alone. Do not bother about other people's affairs. Look to thy own business. Be sure that thou art doing all that thou should. Art thou doing thy best to please me? If so, thou art the kind of person thou should be, whether or not thy neighbor approves of thee." It is a human weakness to be curious about the doings of others. Thou cannot be 100% loyal to me if thou have not overcome this weakness. What does it matter to thee what others are doing, unless it is thy duty to know? Where is it no concern of yours, go about your own business for my sake. Thou wilt not have to answer for the doings of others. Thou wilt only have to account for thy own thoughts, words, deeds, and omissions. I know each individual. No action, word, thought, or desire is hidden from me. Thy deepest wish and thy most hidden intention are clearly seen, perfectly understood by me. Leave everything in my hands. Make thy intention each morning. Try to renew it during the day. Then go about thy affairs in peace. Do not pay too much attention to what others do or say, unless it is your duty to do so. The unkind thoughts and unjust doings of a man will stand against him on the last day. Then will the truth shine forth, and everyone will be seen and known for what he really is. Think. Minding one's own business is actually a positive good. If others need my help in any way, I ought to try to give what aid I can. As for thinking too much about their personal lives, it is a mistake. By my prayers, good example, and good will, I can offer my best assistance. Certainly, I need never talk about the faults of others, unless it be to someone who is concerned in the matter. Even then, if no good will come of my efforts, why make them? I have to live my life, and others must live theirs. After I have done what little I can to help them, I should enjoy peace in my own heart. Pray. Dear Lord, my life is a gift from you. It is a matter which concerns you and me. True, I owe love and help to relatives, friends, and fellow men as far as I am able. Yet in many things, my life is something which does not concern others. Nor need I be over-concerned about others. Let me never be a victim of idle curiosity. Prevent me from talking about my neighbor, and grant that I may be slow to believe the evil that is said of him. Amen. Chapter 89, Curiosity About One's Salvation. Christ said, "My child, a certain person was once anxious and worried about his salvation. He threw himself down before the altar and moaned, 'Oh, if only I were sure that I will be saved.' At that very moment, I placed the answer in his heart, 'If thou knew this, what would thou do? Go forth and do all the good which thou would do then, and thou wilt have no reason for fear now.'" He saw at once that I had answered his question. He went out joyfully and led a good and useful life. He no longer worried about his salvation, but left his future in my hands. He was interested in one thing alone: how does God want me to act in what I am now doing? He, who previously was selfishly afraid, was now generously brave for me. Thou do the same, and thou wilt live forever. What thou wilt be after death depends on what thou art trying to be in this earthly life. Think, if I do my best each day, I shall be living for heaven. As long as I am trying to learn what God expects of me and am doing my best to follow his will, I need not fear hell. Pray. Lord, I hope to please you in all that I think, do, or say. On you I depend for the grace to do this. As for my salvation, I leave it entirely in your loving hands. If I do my best for your sake, I know that you will not forget me. Amen. Chapter 90, Love of Novelty and Variety. Christ said, "My child, curiosity is a good thing as long as it is controlled by reason and grace." In many things, curiosity does more harm than good. Some people have such a desire to be considered learned and intelligent that they try to answer all difficulties and solve all problems. No man knows all the answers. In fact, there are times when it is better not to know the answer. Just go along doing thy daily tasks and fulfilling thy obligations. Learn whatever may help thee to live a more useful and more virtuous life. Such knowledge will help thee to find my peace. At times, curiosity can interfere with thy best interest. In dealing with my teachings, take them with simplicity and humility, instead of trying to understand the why and wherefore of every statement. At times, it is necessary to accept my teachings simply because they are mine. Some truths are too deep for thy limited human intelligence. If thou could have learned them by thyself, I would not have come down to reveal them to thee. Thou must accept them with faith, humility, and simplicity. Am I not the author of all truth? Control thy curiosity. It is better to ignore some things as though they did not exist. Thou wilt sometimes find it best to be deaf, dumb, and blind for my sake. Thou art not ready yet to learn the full truth. For the present, fill thy mind and heart with those thoughts and desires which will help thee gain eternal life. Direct thy interest toward things which will make thee more honest and content in thy daily duties. Remember, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear satisfied with hearing. There is more to thy daily life than what thou see and hear. Thou art surrounded by an invisible world, the world of spiritual reality. It will go on existing after this earthly world has passed away. Try to learn as much as thou can about the truths which I have revealed. Beware, however, of proud curiosity, which presumes to understand all things or seeks to impress others with knowledge. Think. Curiosity can lead to greater knowledge, but it can also be harmful. In relation to God's words, man's first concern must be to believe them because God inspired them. If one is more interested in studying God's words than in living them, then his curiosity is not a good thing. As long as one is doing his best to obey Christ's church, he can safely study God's holy revelations in order to understand it better. Pray. Holy Ghost, divine inspirer of human hearts, grant me the grace to study your words humbly and obey them unselfishly. Let me understand ever more deeply how I may apply your wisdom in my daily life. The more faithfully I follow your holy will, the more safely and profitably will I be able to understand what you have revealed to the world through Holy Scripture and Christ's Church. Amen. Chapter 91, Vain Reliance on Human Help. Christ said, "My child, do not put too much trust in human friendships and human remedies. Things human can bring only a limited help in thy daily needs. If thou depend on them too much, thou art doomed to bitter disappointments. Above all, the persons and things that satisfy thy needs each day, put thy main trust in me." People who are for thee today may be against thee tomorrow. Those who bless thee now may displease thee later on. The things that satisfy thee at present may dissatisfy thee in the future. Do not be so foolish as to rely too much on these changeful creatures. I alone know and want what is truly best for thee at all times. Only I am unchanging and all-satisfying. Rely first on me and my holy will. Depend on everything else only as far as I permit. Too few have the trust that I demand. Many lack the confidence which I desire of them. If thou wilt put thy daily life entirely in my hands, I shall do what is best for thee. Heaven's perfect life is the only lasting good for thee. Live thy earthly life according to my law, and I shall not fail thee in thy really important needs. Think, may I never depend too much on human beings. They can help me only to a point. People are human like me. There is a limit to their wisdom, their understanding, and their love. Only in God will I find perfect understanding, all-satisfying love, and infinite wisdom. If I can make God the first one in my daily life, there will be a great change in my outlook, my goodness, and in everything around me. No longer will people have power to rob me of my interior peace. I will not need human company as much as before. I will enjoy a new freedom from the human distractions which at present worry or frighten me. Pray. In all my needs, dear Jesus, let me not depend only on human help. You must be the center of my existence. All joy, all love, all ambition, all success, everything that I have ever known and loved, all of these things are tiny images of the grand, all-satisfying glory that you are. When I finally see you face to face in heaven, my God, I will then realize how very incomplete is the joy and happiness of this earthly life. Let me live for you and walk toward heaven each moment of my life. I want to walk among men with eyes fixed on you. Grant that I may never again depend too much on any human being. Amen. Chapter 92, Detractors and Human Opinions. Christ said, "My child, do not care too much about who likes thee and who does not. Why waste time worrying about who is for thee and who is against thee? Just do thy best to please me, and I will be on thy side. I will stand by thee as long as thou hatest sin and avoid it in thy daily life. When I am with thee, what does it matter who else is against thee? Never be disturbed when others say things that hurt. If thou thought more often of thy sins, thou might even agree with some of their remarks. Speak often with me, and men will impress thee less than they do now. The more thou advance in prayer, the less will thou be tempted to talk against others. What they say or do against thee will seem so trivial when thou have learned to join me through prayer and recollection. I know what thou really are. What men say about thee will not change what thou or they, what they think of thee. Just do thy best for my sake, and do not worry about anyone and what they may think or say of thee. Do not fear the judgments of those around thee. Live for me by trying to please me in thy daily life. Then wilt thou enjoy my peace." Think. In God alone will I find true peace and glory. I must not desire to please men, nor fear to displease them, when there is a question of doing what is right. Only God's judgment is important. All men will agree with God's opinion of me at the last judgment. Pray. My God, how foolish it is to be concerned about human opinions and judgments. Only you are the fountain of truth. As long as I am pleasing you, I need never worry about what humans think. I will do my best to live a holy life, trying to be kind, considerate, helpful, unselfish, and obedient to your commandments. Never again will I do anything simply to gain human favor. May I never seek the approval and admiration of men. All for you, my Jesus. Amen. Chapter 93, Human Friendship. Christ said, "My child, how many friends stand by thee when thou need them? As soon as a sacrifice is required, so many of these so-called friends are busy with other matters. No matter how dear any human may be to thee, thou still live thy daily life pretty much alone. In the middle of the night, or in moments of fatigue, or at times when others are absorbed in their own interests, thou get a momentary awareness of being alone, of being unnoticed or forgotten by others. Do not overestimate earthly friendship. Sooner or later thou must leave thy friends, or they must leave thee. If thou depend too much on any human companion, thou will have to bear a painful separation later. Human friendship needs my blessing. Try to help thy friends come nearer to me by thy good example. look forward to the purification and continuation of thy earthly friendship in heaven. With my blessing, earthly friendships can be a lasting thing. In heaven, they will bring a new kind of joy to thee and thy friends. Think. All true friendship must be based on virtue and loyalty to Christ. Unless I am helping my friends in some way to live a better life, I am not a true friend. So, two people who are not helping me become a better person are not real friends of mine, but useless acquaintances. Anyone who brings me closer to sin by his words or ways is an enemy in spite of any good intentions which he may profess. Pray. My Jesus, divine friend of my life, I long to live a truthful life, a life which is not ruled by blind feelings or unthinking emotions. My earthly friends are human like me, with faults, limitations, and shortcomings. Never should any human being come between you and me. In you I have the perfect friend. All others must take second place. None of them understands me as perfectly as you do. None of them loves me as fully as you. Who can see and help my real needs as well as you? I want to appreciate you for the wonderful friend you are. In you alone will I find the perfection of friendship. Let me never prefer any other friend to you. Amen. Chapter 94, The Friendship of God's Saints. Christ said, My child, if thou want the sincerest friendship, thou wilt find it in my saints. My church has declared them saints because they were heroically loyal to me during their life on earth. They are my favorites because they made me their favorite. They chose to love me more than their own life. They served me with all the unselfishness and generosity at their command. They gave me the best service in their power, and they denied me nothing. Whether I send them labor, hardship, failures, disappointments, or sickness, they accept it all from my hand with complete willingness. Even after the saints have left this world, they are still interested in seeing me glorified by men. Their greatest desire for thee is that thou may someday join them in the perfect life and joy of heaven. Thou honor me when thou honor my friends. Thou will also be acting wisely if thou request them to join thee in asking for my help. What thou may not deserve by thyself alone, thou maybe receive when the saints intercede for thee. They are far more deserving of my favors than their selfish fellow men. Honor my saints not only for the help which they can obtain for thee, but also because they are the greatest heroes of all mankind. The greater the cause for which a man lives, the greater the man. The saints lived for my glory, for the praise of my goodness and the following of my truth. Theirs was the highest, most noble, and least selfish of all causes. They labored for me alone, and loved me more than any personal advantage or profit. As far as they could, they tried to do their work, hidden from the eyes of their fellow men. They were working for me, and they desired no human recognition. They realized that I deserved the best that was in them. In their noble generosity, they could not offer me less. Think. In God's saints, I will find sincere friends and strong helpers before God. Their prayers and friendship will bring me many extra helps from God's hand, helps which they earn by their glorious generosity with God. In their love for God, I can see a wonderful example of continual self-giving to Him who deserves all that I can offer. Pray. My God, I hope to cultivate a better friendship with your saints. They have a genuine interest in my welfare, and they sincerely desire to help me. O holy saints of God, I honor you for the greatness which you achieved by your grand love for God. Help me in my daily needs, but especially in loving God's holy will in all things. Amen. Chapter 95, Devotion to Mary. Christ said, "My child, when my mother received the praises of her cousin Elizabeth, she immediately directed those praises to God, the source of all good." Amid this admirable outburst of humility, the Holy Spirit inspired her to prophesy her future place in the hearts of my loyal followers. Under divine influence, she declared, "Henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." In honoring my mother, thou join the countless multitudes who have sung her praises through the centuries. At the very dawn of creation, her greatness was foretold. Satan was told that his head would be crushed by the heel of a woman. Under God, my Immaculate Mother is the most feared enemy of hell. Her greatest praise was expressed even before she became my mother. The angel Gabriel was instructed to address her as full of grace, a title reserved for her alone. The better thou understand this holy title, the greater will be thy admiration for my mother. To be full of grace, one must have an all-consuming love for God, a self-dedication so complete that all forms of self-interest are subdued by the pure desire to please God at every moment. Even before she became my Virgin Mother, she had already achieved this exalted virtue. She was already full of grace. Her response to the angel's message was a perfect summary of her entire life. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word." She lived with the highest purpose possible to man or angel, to devote herself unreservedly to God's holy will. Many have formed this high resolve, but only my mother has fulfilled it to perfection. Only she is full of grace. Not only does my mother deserve thy admiration and praise, but she also deserves thy purest love. In becoming my mother, she also became thine in a very true sense. As thy earthly parents cooperated with God in giving thee thy earthly life, so too did my mother cooperate with God in bringing supernatural life to thy soul. She knows and loves thee as a true mother, indeed as the most perfect of all mothers. Her prayers for thy needs are frequent and powerful. As she obtained help for the bridal couple of Cana without their knowledge, so does she often obtain help for thee in many needs of which thou art unaware. As I could not refuse her request in Cana, so too can I not refuse her prayers in heaven. Her glorious merits bring thee many a favor of which thou art unworthy. Be a loyal child of thy heavenly mother, and thy salvation is assured. Think. Mary's highest merit was her self-dedication to God. When Jesus heard a woman praising his mother for having such a wonderful son, he pointed to his mother's greatest glory. "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." She, who was full of grace, lived these words to perfection. Therefore, she deserves my highest praise, and yet she deserves something more. As my heavenly mother, she has given me her love and attention since my first moment of life. Can I refuse to love her in return? My love will be proved by my obedience to the holy command of hers, which Holy Scripture records, "Do whatever he, Jesus, tells you." If I am loyal to this command, heaven is surely mine. Pray. O Virgin Mother of Jesus, I cannot ask you to be my mother, since you are already that. I will, however, ask you to help me become a grateful and loving child of yours. My devotion to you is not half so generous as your devotion to me. I shall never tire of singing your praises. Your pure love for me has often gone unnoticed and unrepaid. I desire now to make reparation for such deep ingratitude. You are indeed the perfect mother. You have given me the advice and the example which will lead me to the eternal success of heaven. Moreover, you can obtain for me the light and strength to walk along your holy way. Help me abandon my daily faults and follow you at last along the way to God. Amen. Part 5. Self-conquest through mortification. Mortification means putting to death. The person who wants to live more for God must live less for his blind natural appetites and unreasoning desires. He will look to God's holy will and follow it ever better each day. His likes and dislikes, his feelings and moods will react whenever he tries to do what is unpleasant or difficult, but he seeks to follow his intelligence regardless of feelings and moods. Thus, the mortified man succeeds in dying to self so that he may live more perfectly to God. He overcomes his natural self in order to follow God's holy will more perfectly. He kills his faults and defects in order to let greater virtues live within his soul. A final note must be added if we are to conduct ourselves intelligently in this holy practice of mortification. It is this: human desires and emotions are natural to man. That means that they cannot be destroyed. They are made more perfect insofar as one succeeds in controlling and directing them by the grace of God. Thus, dying to self means the right use of human emotions and desires. They are to be followed insofar as they help us to fulfill God's holy will, and they are to be controlled insofar as they hinder us from doing so. Chapter 96. Intelligent Love. Christ said, "My child, the more thou study my law, the more thou wilt see that what I command is the only intelligent thing to do. I am simply asking that thou value persons and things according to their true worth. Thou offend me only when thou have placed the wrong value on the people and things in thy daily life. Thou would not want counterfeit money in place of real money, neither should thee be satisfied with false values in anything else. If thou learn this holy honesty, thou wilt never prefer any human being to me. When thou sin for the sake of any creature, thou art putting more value into it than it deserves. Thou art choosing a passing satisfaction in preference to the lasting joy which I want thee to have. If thou value things as they deserve, thy first interest will be my will in all things. At present, thou often deceive thyself. Thou think that thou art acting out of charity, but thou art really acting for selfish reasons. Think, an honest life is the only life which will bring no regrets. God desires to help me live such a life. He wants me to esteem people and things for what they are. Such a standard will help me to avoid many mistakes. It will teach me the true meaning of charity and goodness. My affections will be broadened and purified. I will stop judging people and things with prejudice. Selfish motives will become weaker and rarer within me. I shall begin to be the person I have always wanted or pretended to be. I will be a man of truth, an honest man, a man of God. Pray. My God, give me the grace to love people and things according to their merits and worth. Do not let my heart control my head. Let my intelligence guide the emotions within me, and let my will control my unreasoning desires. Grant that I may love what is good and do what is right, even when I feel like acting differently. I will not take it too hard when earthly friends fail me. You, the best and greatest of friends, are always with me. As long as I have your love and am on the road to heaven, I have solid reasons for peace and joy. Amen. Chapter 97. Man's Interior Enemies. Christ said, "My child, nothing gives thee more trouble than thy unthinking self. Until thou have acquired control of thy animal desires, thy proud ambitions, and thy foolish envy of others, thou cannot enjoy my heavenly peace. If thy heart is not at rest, it is because thou art still controlled by this blind self within thee. Thy heart is not set on me, but on the comforts, enjoyments, achievements, or security of this life. Because thou art so self-centered and full of worldly desires, thou art tempted to sin. Whatever is not from me and leads not to me is bad for thee. Some of the saints often ask themselves the question, how does this help me for eternal life? That is a very valuable question. If thou live by it, there will be less waste of time and more good work in thy daily life. Thy feelings and desires are good only as long as thou keep them under control. Once they become thy masters, they will turn thy life into a slavery. Thou wilt have no peace within thyself, and thou wilt even destroy the peace of those around thee. Thou wilt become jealous, envious, ambitious, and difficult to live with. Thou wilt often omit what thou ought to do, and do things which thou should not do. Thou wilt become too interested in the doings of others, and not interested enough in what thou should be doing. Thou can make a better world by following me. Begin with thyself, learn my truth, and let it govern thy passions, thy desire, all thy fears, and each word and deed in thy daily life. Think. The man who has not learned to mortify himself has within himself the enemies of peace and goodness. He is easily aroused against those who thwart or oppose his selfish desires. He sees the obligations of others, but he remains blind to his own. He blames little things in others, while he excuses bigger faults in himself. Pray. My Jesus, you conquered the world of passion and selfishness. By your life of mortification, prayer, work, and loyalty to the Father's will, you merited for me all the necessary graces to overcome self in my daily activities. I wish to begin a mortified life. I want to practice self-control as often as I can, even when there is no question of sin. By my mortification, I hope to obtain greater graces to fight future temptations. If I am ready to suffer for you now, I will be prepared to fight for you then. I hope in you for the strength to begin. You deserve this of me. Let me forget self and think only of your all-perfect goodness. Amen. Chapter 98. Attachments. Christ said, My child, as thou go through life, thy heart tends to attach itself to many things. If these attachments become too strong, they will make thee their slave. Thou wilt eventually sin because of them. True, thy natural likes and dislikes are not decided by an act of will. Thou can, however, control them with the help of prayer, mortification, and my sacraments. Purify thy love for all earthly things by using them wisely according to my law. Only with a pure love such as this can thou escape the slavery of earthly attachments. Thou wilt never again be too troubled at the possibility of losing something, be it a friend or a cherished possession. Nor is this a form of misguided selfishness. Thou art simply choosing first things first, God before creatures. Refuse to be a slave of anything on earth. Love me and my will more than all else. Thou art still disturbed and displeased when matters go against thy wishes and desires. Thou still fail to understand the passing nature of earthly things. Let no human being nor earthly satisfaction mean so much to thee that thou wouldst sin for them. If thou love anything that much, thy love is misguided and foolish. Thou art preferring a reflection of God to God himself. If thou want true joy and real greatness, be attached to me above every person and thing in thy earthly life. Let thy desires and love be guided by my wisdom, and they will never lead thee into folly. Think. My true welfare lies not in possessing or enjoying many things on earth, but rather in using what I have wisely and sinlessly with the intention of pleasing God. Riches, honor, praise, admiration, power, and superiority over others, or whatever else may attract me on earth, all of these things must one day pass away. Why be too interested in what I am sure to lose? Unless I use them as God desires, I will use them the wrong way, and they will draw me away from Him. The more I come to know God, the more will I desire to lessen my attachments on earth. I will try to be more aware of Him throughout the day. My real needs are few. True, human nature objects to being deprived of what it likes. Still, I ought to get rid of whatever does not really improve my life. Pray. My God, You are the perfect good. Whatever attracts me in any human person or in anything is but a tiny reflection of Your infinite perfection. How can I be so foolish as to prefer a reflection to the reality? Yet, that is what I do when I displease You by sin. Help me to face this truth. From now on, I desire to live for You by a proper use of things in my daily life. Whatever leads me into sin must go. Let me love and choose only what will help me please You. You know what is best. Show me Your will and give me strength to follow it. Amen. Chapter 99, Conflicting Emotions. Christ said, My child, when thou have received the grace to think My way, thou wilt never again fall into sadness. One can be sad only when he is deprived of something which he desires very much. Most human sadness is born of worldly attachments. If thou want Me above all else, thou wilt not be sad at being deprived of anything on earth. The more thou come to realize what I am, the more thou wilt want Me above every created thing. Only sin can make my followers sad, yet even then they soon turn to Me and abandon their sadness. The sadness of the worldly man comes from his self-love. He is sad because he does not have what he wishes. He is often moved to anger at those who hinder him from getting what he wants. He becomes jealous of what he loves and envies those who have what he desires. Follow Me and live in peace. Do not be troubled if something is said against thee. It is not the first time, nor will it be the last. In fact, more is said behind thy back than what thou hear. Do not lose any sleep over the judgments of men. Do thy best for Me and seek My approval. If thou art pleasing Me, thou hast good reason to be glad. Do not become over anxious or worried about anything. I do not expect the impossible from thee. Why should thou demand of thyself more than I demand? Pride makes thee desire perfection as quickly as possible. The humble man seeks perfection according to his strength. He does his best and renews his efforts when he has failed. He does not deceive himself. He really tries his best. When, however, he fails, he is neither surprised nor excited. He is genuinely sorry, looks for guidance, and begins again. Think. Sadness, fears, and worries will always rob me of peace until I have learned to embrace God's will in all things. When I have done this, I will no longer be troubled, whether I live here or there, whether I work with this person or that one. I will see God's hand guiding me through the trials of daily life, teaching me patience, love, and sorrow for my sins. I need only do my best. That is enough for God. It ought to be enough for me, too. Pray. My Jesus, a true follower of Yours, knows how to keep his eyes fixed on You in spite of conflicting emotions. You love me. I know that. You are ever near to help me live this daily life of mine. All that You ask is that I keep trying and be content with the results which You send me. The final goal is heaven's eternal glory. If I believe all this, have I any true reason for worries, fears, or sadness? How can I be swayed by my shifting emotions when I am living for the grandest success of all? Help me to remember my goal as I go along in my daily activities. I do not want to sin for anything on earth. You deserve my very best. Lead me along and help me hate all sin. Amen. At the end of the music, please go to side B.